Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and I love helping Florida gardeners, and gardeners anywhere with their landscapes and their garden issues. Producing the show as a expert is Lizzie Steele, producer extraordinaire. Saying that this morning, and we have gremlins this morning.
Yes, we tend to have gremlins, and it happens because that's a good experience for us, right? It grows us as a person.
There you go. We survived it, so that's great. And so this is where we can talk about your gardening issues and gardening thoughts. You can brag about your gardening. And so to get us off on the right foot, let's talk about the dirty word of the day, and here's John Denver.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is a good one. It's autumn. And autumn is a noun, and it's the third season of the year when crops and fruits are gathered and leaves fall in the Northern Hemisphere from September to November, and in the Southern Hemisphere from March to May. The first known use of the word autumn was in the 15th century. Middle English autumn, borrowed from Anglo-French autumn, borrowed from Latin autumnus, and it's also an adjective, autumnal. Autumnal, perhaps borrowed from Etruscan language. The Romans regarded Vertumnus as a god of the changing seasons by association with the verb vertere, to turn. And with the fall comes the harvest moon, which may have a red or a orange hue. This is because at this time of the year, the sun sets almost due west, while the full moon rises to due east. When the moon is low on the horizon at this time, its light is filtered as it travels through the Earth's atmosphere, and red light is scattered the least, which will give the moon its bold color. Leaves stop generating chlorophyll, which is the green pigment that helps catch sunlight so the plant can power photosynthesis in reaction to cooler temperatures and less light in the fall. The leaves' other colors, such as orange and yellow carotenoids and bright red anthocyanin, come through as the green fades. The words fall and autumn can be used interchangeably when talking about the time between summer and winter, although autumn is considered the more formal name. In addition, wordsmiths explain that while both words originated in Britain, fall, which comes with the phrase "the fall of the leaves," is used more frequently in America. So the dirty word of the day is autumn. And I know we'll find lots of ways to use it this week in our conversations.
Yes, and it's so funny because Brooke, who does the producing and fills in for me and our digital person for here for Orlando, she's also my daughter, and yesterday was her birthday, and she was actually born on the first day of fall, the day that she was born. So, aww. And her middle name is Summer, which the nurses go, you know, today's the first day of fall, and why don't you name her Autumn? I go, because you were not in charge of telling me what to do late. No, but I mean, that's what was brought up. So I'm like, okay. So now, I mean, I always know when fall's coming. It's around Brooke's birthday.
There you go. That's wonderful. Well, pumpkins are everywhere, and it's all the fall colors, and I'm loving seeing it. Mm-hmm. And so I am ready. And it's, like I said, it's my favorite season and the best time of the year to be planting and gardening. And so this is a great time to be planting trees and shrubs and also to any of your fall vegetables you'd like to get started. You can still include the tomatoes and squash and, you know, peppers. You know, we have a generally a warm November and December, and with the El Nino year that we're going to have this year, with the weather, the climate, it's going to be a wet, warm winter. Fingers crossed. And so that will be good. That will catch us up, Mike, on our rainfall, hopefully. And so I'm looking forward to that. We have wonderful guest coming up, Randy Schultz. He's the editor of Home Garden and Homestead, and it is a wonderful website. And he's going to be helping us with things that are still going on, even though we are going into the fall season. It's important to remember. And I just love talking to him. He's a good friend, great garden communicator, and I'm looking forward to having him on. So we have a text question I can answer real quick. I have not fertilized my St. Augustine grass since May. When should I start fertilizing again? I use Scott's Weed and Feed, by the way. And so, we're not allowed to fertilize. We have a fertilizer ban going on throughout most of Florida right now through October 1st. So in October, you can fertilize your lawns. It's the time of the year to do it. Gives us time, but the grass is still growing so it can absorb the nutrients. And then also, too, it gets it prepared for the wintertime. So October 1st through the end of October, first part of November, is the time you want to start fertilizing your lawn. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Speaking of mountains and cabins and Colorado, I always think of Randy. Randy is the owner of the Schultz Communications, and he's the editor of the award-winning Home Garden and Homestead, one of the hosts of Camp Codger podcast. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is getting cooler here, and so it's a beautiful day. We got temperatures in the low 70s this morning. A listener in Newberry had 53 degrees this morning, Jim, and so I am excited.
Wow, that's cool for Florida.
It is this time of the year. And so what's the weather like there where you are in Colorado?
It is a classic beginning of fall day today. It's going to be 75 degrees. It's sunny and gorgeous.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great. Great gardening weather. Do you do any gardening in the fall?
You know, we don't do as much like fall planting as the folks in lower elevations and certainly the folks in Florida do. Because it could snow anytime in October, you know, and October is only a week away. So
yeah.
I was fooled when I first moved here 5 years ago from New Mexico. I was fooled into thinking, there's still time to plant things, you know. But no, it's not a good idea.
So, you know, speaking of the seasons and fall starting, are there mosquito seasons?
Oh, there are mosquito seasons for sure. And mosquito season is going to vary based on where you live. Mosquito season in Colorado is pretty much over at this point. There are still some mosquitoes out. And until we get a hard freeze, there's going to still be mosquitoes. But they're not breeding to the extent they were in the summertime. So it's really not that big a deal now. However, in many parts of the country, including Florida, it's still mosquito season. Don't get fooled by the calendar, because the mosquitoes are out there and they're still breeding.
Yeah, they are. And so this last spring and summer, for the first time, Florida experienced a really lot of cases of malaria and dengue fever, but they were homegrown. They weren't from travelers from around the world who are coming in to Florida. They were actually from mosquitoes that were here in Florida. So, where are the worst places that produce disease, producing mosquitoes?
Well, ironically, mosquitoes are really good at adapting to city life and suburban life where people are. And it doesn't take much standing water for a female mosquito to lay eggs and a new generation of mosquitoes to hatch. So, every little thing in your backyard that can gather and collect rainwater is a source of a potential mosquito breeding area. You know, the little pots out on your back patio with the saucers around them, catch the water so it doesn't drip. That's a great place to breed mosquitoes, unfortunately. Most of us have a really big variety of mosquito breeding locations in our own yards.
And so what kind of solutions do you have that are some great tips that you have for getting areas so that we can have less mosquitoes? What's the best way to control them?
All right. The number one tip for controlling mosquitoes is trying to prevent them from breeding. So the number one way to do that is to get rid of standing water in your yard. And if that means once a week you do a little inspection, you walk through and you make sure there's, the bird bath needs to be emptied out so it's not just sitting there and stagnant. Empty the bird bath once a week. Empty the pot saucers. Check your gutters. At the top of the edge of your house, where gutters are wonderful things. They take the rainwater away and put it back into the landscape. But if you've got a clogged gutter, you've got a little pool of water up there that's out of sight. You might not even know about it, but that could be a big mosquito breeding problem.
That is so true. And yes, those gutters do get clogged up. It's not something that we think about all the time. And even the bowls of water that we put out for cats and for dogs, that needs to be changed out too. And so right. Are there ways, because like I have a beautiful fountain in my yard that I like to keep water in, and it's not always going on, so it does get stagnant. Are there ways that you can prevent mosquitoes from getting into these places that we do want water, and yet we have to control the mosquitoes?
Well, the key is to realize that we really can't prevent all mosquitoes from getting into our backyards and trying to lay eggs. But the way you combat that is you use something called BTI. It's a naturally occurring soil bacterium. And it's the active ingredient in products such as mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. That little bacterium focuses solely on larvae of mosquitoes. It's Mother Nature's way to kill that pest. So if you put a mosquito dunk in standing water, or if you got a little bit of water, like a little bromeliad plant that collects water after it rains, sprinkle a couple of mosquito bits. That's a granular form of the same thing as mosquito dunks. That will release the BTI, and it'll kill the mosquito larvae that's in the water.
And so it is organic, and it's good to use in the environment, but is it safe for pets and children and birds and even the little lizards? I mean, how safe is it?
Absolutely. It's been tested by the FDA. It's everybody who's ever tested it says this is the safest way to kill mosquitoes we've ever found. So target specific, like I said, it goes after mosquito larvae. Your dog can eat a mosquito dunk and not be affected at all. It doesn't affect birds or fish or any wildlife. It's registered for organic production. It's registered for even putting dunks and bits in animal watering tanks. So it's really as safe as it gets. It's not a chemical.
And so this week I was traveling around the lake shore of a home that I'm designing, and the grass was up to my waist. And of course, I'm being next to the shoreline. I'm always looking for gators and snakes, but I'm also worried about ticks and fleas getting on me too as well. Does Summit have a product that will work well for that?
Absolutely. It's called Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent. It's a permethrin based spray. You spray it on your clothing, your boots, your camping equipment, whatever you're wearing outside, and it will prevent ticks and even mosquitoes, because it's a mosquito killer as well, from grabbing onto your clothes. That's what ticks do. They basically hide out in the tall grasses and the weeds and vegetation, and they wait for an animal or a human to come by, and they try to grab on and hitchhike a ride, right?
They do.
So they can find your skin and bite you. The truth is, Teresa, they're nasty little creatures.
They are.
So if you spray this insect repellent all over the clothing and the gear that you're wearing outside, it's a great way to prevent ticks from hanging onto you and getting a chance to get onto your skin.
Oh, that's great information. Now, where do people find Summit products, Summit Responsible Solution products?
Well, you can certainly find them at summitresponsiblesolutions.com. You can learn all about the Summit products. They're available online at Amazon and all the other places. And most garden centers and hardware stores carry the full line of Summit products.
So you have a great article this month on Home Garden and Homestead, and I loved it. And the thought of chickens running around in the city in the urban environment just tickles me. I love it. And you tell us about this article and Home Garden and Homestead about raising chickens in the city.
Well, Home Garden and Homestead was created to be like one of the sources you go to for information about anything that happens in your backyard or in your home. And the gardening element is certainly our strongest and most popular category of stories. So we've had a lot of success with chickens, because in the last few years, I think the whole COVID thing, starting in 2020, because people were spending more time at home, it turned out to be a real boom for backyard chicken keeping. And we've had a lot of good feedback about chicken stories. So we posted a story. What can chickens eat? Just like a great beginning story. If you don't know that much about chickens and what to do and how to feed them, we've got that information for you.
That's great. And so now eggs are getting so expensive. I mean, you could used to get a dozen eggs for a dollar, and now they're up close to over $3 in some stores. And so how many, can I find out how many eggs a chicken will lay?
Well, as a rule of thumb, I'll give you a little info about chickens. Chickens mature to adulthood very quickly. A little chick can turn into a laying hen in 18 weeks.
Wow.
It doesn't take long. Yeah. And so part of what we covered in our story was, you know, there are different kinds of feed for the age of your chicken. But once they hit adulthood, a laying hen can lay an average of one egg a day, or maybe five a week. They're very, very productive. I mean, you have a half a dozen chickens, and you're going to be giving eggs away because you can't keep up with the supply.
That's
of course, they're fabulous eggs.
That's great. And so you have a fun weekly podcast that I think appeals to so many, especially here in Florida, called Camp Codger. What is it about?
Camp Codger is about pretty much anything an older adult would be interested in. We call it a podcast for people in their golden years. And we just wanted to cover that part of the population that sometimes the media forgets. So we do everything from technology for seniors. We just did a memory story. We had an expert come on the show and talk about ways to improve your memory. And we even did a tribute to Jimmy Buffett. You know, the outpouring for Jimmy Buffett after his death a couple weeks ago was so outrageously strong. We said, hey, let's just talk about Jimmy's life and what he accomplished.
I love listening to you guys. You have so much fun. It's enjoyable to listen to. Randy, thank you so much for coming on today. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is time for your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'd love to hear from you. And so if you would like to hear more from Randy Schultz, his website is Home Garden and Homestead, all one word, homegardenandhomestead.com. And the Camp Codger podcast, which is really fun, is campcodger.com. And so you can Google all of that and check out Home Garden and Homestead. It's a really great DIY gardening website, but it also has about your home and also about the environment and different things about homesteading. And it's a great resource. I was asked yesterday, my landscaper mows in the same direction each week, and I'm starting to see lines in my landscape. And, you know, what should I do? And this is a very important that if you are mowing on a regular basis your yard, you need to change directions. So change your mowing patterns every week. You can go in one direction one week, go the next direction the next week, and you can have overlapping rows so that you don't create ruts, especially if you're on a slope or you have a way for the soil to erode on it close to a road. You want to make sure that you are mowing in different patterns every week. And speaking of lawn mowers, if you've been mowing all summer long and you have not sharpened your blades of your lawnmower, this is the time of the year to do that. Really should, if you're mowing frequently and in large areas of lawn and turf, then you want to make sure that you're, you know, sharpening your blades every 5 mowings. Now, that sounds a lot. You're going, gosh, you know, that sounds like once a month or once every 6 weeks or so. But it's important because you want those blades to cut precisely and make a sharp line, you know, sharp cut, and not rip the blade or rip the turf blades. And so when you do, you're creating an environment for that grass that it's going to be more susceptible to disease and insects, okay? So ripping the grass from with your lawnmower creates stress. And that stress, your lawn is going to be sending out pheromones. It's going to be sending out calls for help. And, you know, the insects, they can sense that and actually, you know, smell the pheromones, and they will attack your lawnmower. So, you know, if you have a lawnmower, or ask your landscaper to literally sharpen his blades, stand back in the road or stand back and look at your turf. If you see little brown edges on your turf, and it's very noticeable, I see it driving down the road. I could tell which lawns have ripped blades and which ones are just, they have a good lawnmower and it's very sharp and you can see it. Ask your landscaper, your mow and blow guy, to sharpen his blades, and that'll be great. Now, the other thing is that we generally, if we see somebody doing something in our landscapes or in the yard at a commercial property, we think we need to be doing it ourselves. Don't fall into that trap. Again, this week I saw at a commercial shopping mall, they had their landscapers pruning the heck out of their palm trees. They literally had, it was full of palm fronds. And then when they got through, when I came out of the store, they only had 3 to 4 blades, fronds instead of the 10 to 12 that they had before. And that they were green fronds. They didn't need to be cutting these fronds off. So landscapers, don't get paid unless they're usually doing something. It's one of my big beefs. I just wish that landscapers would say, okay, I'm going to give you a service where I'm going to come by every month and I'm going to tell you everything's good in your landscape. You don't need to do anything, and pay them for that consultation. But no, we only pay landscapers when they do something. And usually that's pruning shrubs, cutting them back, you know, sometimes, you know, using chemicals, fertilizing or spraying. And that those chores, those to-do lists are not necessary. We don't have to be spraying every month for insects. Okay, that's a waste of the chemical, waste of your money. And if the insect is not in your landscape, there really is no bug preventative out there to stop them. And so by the time the insect comes through, the chemical's either leached out, is not there. You know, our products, the chemicals that they're able to use in a residential application is not the same, does not have the same analysis, and is usually very diluted and doesn't always work. You only want to spray chemicals when you have diagnosed an insect problem and you see the insects in your yard. You can find a dead area in your yard, and yes, insects did the damage, and yes, that's where it is. You can see it. But if you check outside of that damaged area, they're no longer there in the damaged area. They should be out in the surrounding green area. And if you can't find them, they've done their damage and they've gone. There's no reason to spray a chemical on an area where there's no pest issues. Okay. So what do you do? You can go ahead and resod that area, plug it in, and, you know, make sure that the grass grows back. And sometimes it's small enough. And if you're walking your yards on a weekly basis, you can catch it when it's small and the grass will grow back quickly. If you leave it until the insect has done a lot of damage and you've got areas that are 10 by 5, you know, 20 by 40, and the area is dead or has a lot of weed issues, then you're going to have to replace that sod. You know, there's just not enough chemicals to use right now that will take care of the issue and allow the grass to grow back naturally before weeds set in again. So if you have a large area, the most cost-effective way to get rid of the trouble and the dead grass is to go ahead and resod rather than using a lot of chemicals. So let's see. Mark in Winter Garden says, I currently pay a service to fertilize and take care of insects. They come about every 7 to 8 weeks and charge $110. I think I'm ready to start doing this in my own yard and try to save some money. What products can I use in my yard for fertilizer, weed, and feed, and in the spring emergent? Also, when are the weeds really bad in the summertime? They will spray a blue substance that takes care of the weeds. What is that? And great text. And he said, have a great day. Well, we will, because it's nice. So, Mark, what I'm going to tell you is send me an email, and I will send you some more information back about that. I appreciate your text message. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We still have time for your phone call at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, just like Mark did and Eric did. All great questions here. I just wanted to say that on our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, you don't want to miss fall, even in Florida. So we have put an interactive 2023 fall prediction map on there from the smokymountains.com, and you can see where the fall color will be best. Lizzie?
Oh, well, and what I love this. I love our listeners. We had a listener, her name is Marie, and she divulged her age. She's 102 and she listens to the show all the time. She said that she's from Vermont area, and about this time of year, there's this long road, a route that goes between like Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont, and it's lined with the most beautiful maple trees, and they turn like a goldish color right about now. Well, I kind of researched it, so I'm not sure sure if I'm exactly right, but there is a route called Route 7 that goes through that entire area, and it is lined with maple trees, and it goes through the three different states. So thank you for calling in. I love that. I'd love to hear her story. So,
Of course.
I would give anything to, in about a month to be driving up that road, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you. And I'm going to be heading to Vermont, but in December. So that's going to be kind of interesting. I'm hoping it'll be snow, but not too bad of a snow because we'll be driving.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So anyway, thank you so much, Marie, for calling in. And so also too, on Better Lawns and Gardens, I have a very important post that provides scientific information on the 10 things you need to know about GMOs. And so if you're confused about them, don't know what they are, then you can go to the post on Better Lawns and Gardens on Facebook, and you can read all the facts on GMOs. And it really is insightful. You're going to learn something about it, and it's all going to be based on science. It is fact. So I think that's very, very important. Also, too, if you love beauty berries in your yard or you have beauty berries in your yard and you want to take the berries and make a jelly out of them, I have a recipe from Authentic Florida, because beauty berries are native, and you can make your own beauty berry jelly. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And let us know if you do that. Also, I have a integrated pest management podcast from urbanfarm.org that I talked with Greg Peterson on how not to use harsh chemicals in your landscape. And you can listen to that. Let's go to Beverly. Okay, good morning, Beverly. How can I help you?
Yes, I have an Oklahoma redbud tree that has black spots on it, and I need to know how I can get rid of that and get it healthy again.
Okay, well, the redbud is a deciduous tree, so Mother Nature is going to help you in about a month to 6 weeks. It's going to drop all of its leaves. Okay, and so that's what it does every year. Towards the end of the summertime, we've had enough rain, the humidity with all the issues in Florida that we have with plants. Red buds do get sometimes a fungal disease. Nothing to worry about. It's just that time of year. And you don't have to do anything. The leaves are going to fall off. Don't be worried about that. And it will sprout flower, or it'll bloom next spring and grow more new leaves. Heart-shaped leaves. I love red buds. And tell me, did you plant this as an Oklahoma from a tree from Oklahoma, or did you buy it here?
Yes. No, I bought it from online.
You bought it online. Okay. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to tell you is that red buds are native to Florida. And when you want to buy, you know, trees and shrubs online, make sure that they come from Florida, because the Oklahoma redbud may not be able to take all the rainfall that we have here. Okay, so it may be used to the drier conditions in Oklahoma and also need the cold temperatures and the snow of the wintertime in Oklahoma. So that may be a little bit of your issue. Just make sure that the redbud is in full sun, that it gets consistent watering, and that you fertilize it for the next few years.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate that, Beverly. Plants, there's a provenance, and when they're grown in certain areas, they do better. And so if you ever want to buy a dogwood or a tree that you can find up north, like the redbud you can find all across the United States. It is a native tree to the United States, but you want to buy Florida-grown trees and shrubs, natives. And that way, they're going to survive better, because that's what they're grown for. They're grown here.
Yes, and that's good suggestion. So don't do like I have done in the past and go up north and buy, like, I don't know, my favorite is Christmas time, a Fraser fir or a blue spruce, like the little saplings, and bring them down here and expect them to grow, because, well, they will not.
I you know, I love blue spruces, and I do buy them on occasion when I go to North Carolina, and I know it's not going to survive but 6 to 9 months, because it just can't take the heat here in Florida. But for 6 to 9 months out of the year, I have a little blue spruce in my yard.
I know, it's gorgeous.
I call it my $75 annual.
I love it.
So Chris in Rutledge says, when is the best time to be planting azaleas? Now. You can go ahead and plant them now, Chris, or anytime throughout the wintertime. That'll be great. And when they're blooming, you can kind of see the flower color that you'd like. So unless it's noted on the pot, now's a good time to be planting them. John in Tallahassee. Good morning, John. Thank you for texting. Does seeding ryegrass harm my St. Augustine lawn? No, it does not. Okay, you can grow ryegrass in any lawns throughout the wintertime. I would probably wait until about the end of October, first part of November to plant it. We might go through some hot spells. And if you're like my friend in Newberry, Jim, who's not getting any rain right now, the heat may cause the ryegrass to die off. Okay, so wait a few more weeks, end of October, first part of November, to go ahead and plant that rye seed, and it'll grow for you. And you can mow your lawn all winter long. And so that is good. It'll be green all year. So I appreciate that text message. If you'd like to go to our webpage, that's betterlawns.com. You can see all the past shows, see the past dirty words over the last few weeks, and you can listen to the podcast. They are uploaded. And so you can hear that. You can also hear you can subscribe to iHeartRadio, and you can learn of the downloads when it happens. It'll go right to your phone, and you won't miss an episode at all, a podcast at all.
That's right. Also go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, because you know what, Teresa? We're giving away tickets to the Beach Boys and you ready for this one? My favorite. We're giving away tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So, but you have to go to our website to enter to win, though.
That is my favorite Christmas. It is a family experience. We take our whole family to, and we take up two rows, and we love
Trans. Wow.
So we have been going to see Trans-Siberian for almost 20 years now. And we love them. Well, and so, yeah.
Well, if you're a listener and you would like to enter to win, go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. And also, the concert's going to be December 22nd at the Amway Theater. So either get your tickets now or try to enter to win.
Usually it's the start of our Christmas holidays. They're a little late this year. Usually they come in November, first part of December. You can't miss this show. It is an incredible experience. We love it. I want to thank Randy Schultz, Home Garden and Homestead, a website, a wonderful resource for all your garden and home DIY projects. He's always great. He helps us with, all kinds of issues from, raising chickens to, keeping mosquitoes out of our yard. So, Randy, thank you so much. Don't miss his Camp Codger podcast. It's really great. These guys get together and have lots of fun. Also, too, Lizzie, thank you for all the great shows. I certainly appreciate it.
Aw, thank you. And thank you to our listeners.
Yep.
We have the best listeners. Thank you, Beverly, Mike, and Eileen, you guys calling in, and also our texters and the people who like to email, too.
I know. We love that. And you can always check out the questions. You can always send us an email through betterlawns.com, and I will get it, and I will respond as quickly as I can. Sometimes it may take a couple of days, but that's because I'm working.
You act like you're busy or something and own a business and trying to do a radio show. And come on, lady.
I want to say hi to Tom McCoven and Jody. It's we love you, and hope to see you soon. And so we want to do just a wonderful get out there and garden. It's a beautiful weather right now. You don't want to miss it. If you love wildflowers, great time to plant them. Check out everything you need to do in your landscape on betterlawns.com too as well.
That's right. If you're not outside right now, these next few days, then you're really wasting it away.
It is. And we dream of these days all summer long, especially in August. You and I were just drooling over, when is fall going to get here? We've had it with summertime.
It doesn't help that I made two trips to Maine this year. I mean, I'm not bragging. But what I'm saying is that
you brought it down.
It was beautiful weather.
It was beautiful weather. And so we do that. I'm so excited that, the fall weather is here. Check out the harvest moon. Now you know why it's red and orange during the fall time. And use the dirty word of the day this week. Check it out on betterlawns.com. Lizzie, thank you so much from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks and organic year-round oil spray. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Don't forget, if it's Gator season, you can catch all the Gator games here on WFLAOrlando.com.